Let the light from God's lighthouse shine on me. Oh, let it shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let the light from God's lighthouse shine on me.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we are truly grateful to be here this evening. And Lord, to feel your presence in the precious song service, Lord, and to listen to the words as each one has been saying. And Lord, we're ever grateful that you, in your great mind, Lord, looked down through time and seen us here in this day. And Lord, to count us worthy by your grace, Lord, nothing we have ever done or done to deserve what you've given us. But by grace, Lord, we stand here as part of that family of God. Lord, that's been saved and born again, filled with your precious Holy Spirit, and chosen to live in a day, Lord, we would express back to you the very life, Lord, that you've set in for this hour. And Lord, we just commend ourselves unto thee for service, Lord, just ask that you would bless these few words, Lord, to your people. Bless them to my heart also, Lord. For Lord, we're here to just draw closer unto thee. And to let you have your way, and we ask it all to your glory and your honor in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love him?
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's so precious. You know, it's just so good to be here tonight. I apologize. We've got a lot of visitors and wished our pastor could have been here, but you know, God knows all things. He knew this service would be here tonight, and he knew which of it we'd all be gathered out, and he knew what would be spoke. And I'm not much of a minister, as you may look through the land and see many, but I can only do what God gives me to do. And tonight I got a few words on my heart. I pray that will be an encouragement, maybe some food to meditate on, some words to think about, nothing you haven't ever heard. These things have been read and spoke on many, many times, but I believe we are living in the last few moments of time. And I believe the Lord Jesus is about to appear, and he's requiring his word in this day. Every word must be lived in our lives, and we must see it become a reality in each one of our hearts. But while you're still standing, let's just turn our Bibles over to Acts, the 19th chapter, if you would. Just read a familiar scripture. I won't hold you very long tonight, but just a few words here to meditate upon, to dwell on. But my God is so good to us. Amen. Here in Acts, the 19th chapter, and we'll just begin about the 11th verse there. And it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. And then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons, one of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. But as we look at that scripture there, and you see those men said, We adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't have a personal revelation of who Jesus was. They had no idea what they were saying. They were just seeing the glory that people were. And then when they seen God begin to be glorified and they saw those great works in Paul's life and the things God was doing through him, they wanted that glory for themselves. And they thought they could go and do with these things, but they didn't have a commission from God to do those things. And it backfired on them. But as Satan said, he said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are ye? And today, each one of us, Jesus knew who he was. By the word, it backed him up every bit down the line. He could look back through time and see every scripture, every quote that was ever prophesied in them scrolls, and he could see his life backing it up and fulfilling every word up for that time. And he knew who he was, and he could stand with boldness upon that word. And then Paul come on the scene and received his commission of the Lord. And he knew without a shadow of a doubt he was called for that purpose. And God had filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when you see Paul, as he could stand with boldness because he knew he was exactly in line with the Word, what the Word told him to do for that day. But as we come down to our day, saints, we look around and we see our prophet come on the scene. And he stood for the test for the Word that he had for his day. And he stood with boldness for God. And he stood and lived every word. And God manifested through his life and did things that he promised he would do. But we bring it down to our day now. And it's our turn. The bride all over this earth is standing here today with the word that the Lord brought back through that prophet and restored back to a people. And every one of us, saints, has got to give an account for every word we've heard. And every word we've heard should be bringing about a change in our bodies. Our bodies and our lives, our thinking, our very actions should be conforming to this word. Every bit of it. It all should be going back to what a reality of that literal life of Jesus Christ being on display in a people. And we each one have to be honest with ourselves as we all can look around the land and across many places. And you can see maybe a brother sitting beside you that maybe is a little cold. And needs to climb in the Lord, and his life shows it. Maybe you see a sister over here that's wearing things she shouldn't wear. You see a sister maybe cutting her hair, all different manners of things. These are just big things that stand out. But it can be the little foxes that get into our lives and begin to creep and to choke and to take things from us. But we're to be responsible for this word, and we must be able to stand with a boldness. In this day, our sickness, whatever we have need of, healing, anything. If your heart condemns you not, you have what you ask for. And we must stand in this day with an assurance. And the only way we can stand in this day with an assurance of who we are. If Satan would say, who are you? Where do we get an assurance? It's nothing we've done in ourselves. But we have to look back. And if our lives are not lining up in the scriptures, if we cannot see this word being made manifest in my heart and in my life, if I don't see my body coming under subjection to God's word, and if I can't see the scriptures as it comes, as God's word says and our prophet said, our bodies would quickly turn to that. It would quickly take a change. When God fills a person with a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, you watch immediately the change that begins to take over in that person's life. And you watch the things of the world begin to slide away and fall off into utter, and it just goes away. There's no more longing for those things. There's no more love for those things. And their views have turned heavenly. And they begin to reach for heavenly things. But when you see this going on around us and you see it, the revival fires are gone from the church, but it's not gone from the bride's heart. There should be a people on fire for God in this day and age. It don't matter if there's five in a group and you're the only one. You should have a fire burning in your heart to see this word still being manifested, still be lived just the way it was brought. It's not for everyone. It's just going to be a select handful. When you look at Joshua and Caleb, when they come out of the land and come out of Egypt, and everyone else that balked and said, we can't take that land. But they said, men and brother, we're more than able to take that land because God's given it to us. And that's where we're standing today. We're not standing on our own merits. We're not standing on anything. But he said to repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what was it given for? To bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And what in turn does it do? It'll bring this body under subjection to Christ, that it'll reproduce that life in this day, in this age, that a people that will declare to this nation that Jesus Christ is still living. If there be a need for the dead to raise, there will be the dead raised. And when it happens, it won't be a person that's backslid smoking cigarettes out behind the church, but it'll be a person that's his life is lined up with this word 100% along with those gifts operating in this day. And there's got to be a people that has that desire in their heart and in their life to see God manifested and vindicated in this day. Not a God of yesterday, not a God of tomorrow, but a God of today, right now, being the same yesterday, today, and forever in a people's hearts and lives. But we each one, if we don't have that desire individually, we'll never see it take place. It's wonderful to see God do things in my brother's life. It's wonderful to see God do things in my sister's life. But what about my life? What is God doing in my life as an individual? Not that what other people will see, but what God's going to see through me. What my life's declaring back to him is a personal love relationship. That's what matters in this day. Not what everyone else wants to do, what everyone else thinks. But it's an individual race. I'm running this race. That prize is there for me.
I pray each one of you see that and want to obtain it just as greatly, but I'm running for me. And that must be the desire of each and every heart. It's my God I'm going to see. It's my Lord I'm going home to see. Those are my streets of gold. That's my city that he prepared for me. And it's all before his glory and to his honor. Nothing that we would do or receive, but all to his glory. Everything that happens here is to his glory. If God sees fit to use a brother to raise someone or lay hands and have someone be healed, or if God moves down in the congregation with an inspiration and strikes a brother's heart and see a miracle take place in that brother's life right now and see God manifested, that's not to that brother, but it's to God be the glory, that he would receive the glory, that he is the great I am. Not that any man would ever receive glory on this earth. We've seen too much of men trying to receive glory, too much of men trying to raise themselves up and say, oh, look what God's doing through me. Yeah, that's good. But you watch and watch that little man that's always humble and down here on the floor, and you watch God move through that man's life and heart. Maybe a sister to do a little something. But as long as she'll stay humble or he'll stay humble, God can use that life for his glory. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why, as Brother Branham said, if that branch ever put forth another branch or vine, it would be another book of Acts written behind it. These things should be taking place in the heart of that little bride. And it's not for show. It's not to attract attention to this message now. But it's in a confirmation of God's word being made manifest in a bride, that what God said would happen is coming to pass. He said it would be a short, quick work in that bride before the Lord took her off the face of this earth. And I believe that day is coming. You can look to Israel and see what's happening. It's all taking place. It's wrapping up. You can see this country deteriorate and fall away. And that's all good. But I don't want my eyes on what this earth's doing. But I want my eyes on what my life's doing and what this word is doing through my life, making sure that it's conforming me to the image of Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're living in a blessed time, a blessed day. When we ought to each one have that burning fire in our hearts. I might be 90 years old or I might be 15. It don't matter, but I want to be a vessel willing that God can use. There might still be a little one somewhere that's steeped in sin that still needs someone to reach a hand and pick them up and say, come on, brother, or come on, sister, this is the way. If God can use me to be that one, then let me be that one. Whatever God wants, if he just needs me to open a church door every service to make sure that those doors is open, that a people can gather, then let me be the one there turning the key in the lock. Because it's to God's glory. Everything you do in this life is to God's glory and to his honor. It don't matter from the least to the biggest thing. From the prayer you may offer in the morning for a brother that you don't know nothing about, but you just feel in your heart, Lord, I feel that brother's got a need today. And you ask God and you may not hear nothing about it for weeks. And then at the end of several weeks, you may hear a brother say, well, you know, a while back this was happening in my life and God met it. Why? God's getting the glory. Oh, you can say, brother, I prayed for you. I remember the day and God met that need for you. I want to give God the glory. Anytime we receive a healing, it's to God. We ought to be grateful and wonderful, ready to testify at the drop of a hat that let me tell you what God has done for me. Why? Because through your testimony, another brother may grab enough strength, grab enough of a revelation. God can use that and inspiration. Strike that brother and bang, right there. God can work in his heart of life. Amen. We're here to help each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Each one of us is growing daily. Every one of us is pressing. And may we each one be there to with a hand. Brother, I'm here if you need me. Sister, if you need me. Pray and upholding one another, never criticizing or pushing another one down, but always holding each one up before God that his will would be done. My saints, I tell you, there's so many all over the earth. You see, and you pray and you wish, and you don't know. We don't know what God, the end will be for any of us. We each one put our lives in God's hands. Yeah. I may see someone over here that's stumbling badly. They may be falling down and may look like their life's a wreck, totally. But that don't mean that God won't reach his hand down to that one at some point. Keep praying. It don't matter. Just pray. You don't have to talk about that person. You don't have to ridicule or belittle, but pray for that person. Lift them up before God and say, Lord, if your little seed's laying in there, raise them up, Lord. Show them. Give them what they have need of. My, you know, sometimes I think so many times of the Apostle Paul, how all the things he done held the coats for those as they stoned Stephen.
and all the many things he done persecuting the Christians. And then God raised him up and said, you'll be my mouthpiece. And come in amongst all of those brothers that he had persecuted. Many of those Christians maybe had seen him do all those things. But watch, you watch their life with a genuine godly forgiveness. They forgive that brother. They stood behind him as he preached the word. They held his arms up. Why? Because it was God on both sides. God in a people's heart. Only God can forgive. Truly bring a true forgiveness into a person's heart for someone else. You can say, I forgive you, but humans don't forget. And a lot of times humans will forgive, say, I forgive you, but they still want to hold on to a little grudge. They want to keep a little something down on the inside and harbor. But when that true, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost is laying in there, it's the same spirit that was on Jesus Christ when he hung on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He didn't wait for them people to ask his forgiveness. He didn't wait for them to come back and him telling how sorry they was. But he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know. And Stephen repeated the same words as they were stoning him. My, may that burn in our hearts. It don't matter. We're not big people. God, by his grace, has imparted grace to each one of us. And we see by grace we're a son of God, an heir to that kingdom. But that shouldn't make us puff up. That shouldn't make us raise up and think I'm a great Christian or I'm a great this, that, or the other. But we should see the humility of the grace that if it wasn't for God, where I would be and what I would be. But through grace, we are saved. Hallelujah. God has been good to a people, saints, but he didn't do it just to have a people fill time and space and just to come be church members. But he had a people he sent here to finish his work. And I pray each one of us feels that and sees it in our hearts and our lives, a hunger not to be a churchgoer, not to just be a message follower or a message believer, and to tag along with this message as it goes. But oh, to see the life of Christ reproduced. That is why we're here. That is the work that's been set for the bride. And that's our portion that's been left. That he could express this word. That he could show that he could have the full preeminence in a body of believers. A group all over this nation. It ain't just a certain church building or a certain group of gatherers. But it's that individual called out ones that he has placed his spirit upon. Oh, I pray each one of us is finding ourselves in that. Amen. As he says here, this was preached. Quiet down here and read a couple quotes. Amen. Preached here April the 1965. This is the Easter Seal. But begin here at the bottom of page 34 and pick up something Brother Branham said here. He said, now look at Transfiguration. Just before we close, Transfiguration. We are all represented there in that Transfiguration. Look what we are seeing today. Notice just what we're seeing today. The quickening power of God. We was all there. There was dead saints represented in Moses. And there was the resurrection, Jesus Christ glorified, Elisha, Moses, Elisha, Jesus, all standing on the mountain, the dead saints, the raptured saints, Jesus glorified, oh my. And you say, I heard a guy say, they say, you people, why, if you had this kind of power, you ought to go out and tell people what you can do. Far be it from a real Christian to say a thing like that. Surely, we don't claim no power, but we do one thing. When they looked around with all this power upon them, they saw Jesus only. And the real true believer don't care whether he's backing up a denomination or nothing about it. He only wants one thing, for you to see that glorified Christ. Makes any difference. A real true Mount Transfiguration experience only glorifies Jesus Christ. It didn't glorify Moses, and it didn't glorify Elijah. It didn't glorify themselves. It didn't glorify nothing else, but they seen the glorified Christ. And any true believer, that's what's in his heart, to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to get the people to see. Not say, well, if you'll come in and join our groups, if you'll come do this or do that, no, don't do that. Don't do that. See God's word, which is Christ, magnified, and fulfill the promise of this day and this great hour of resurrection. Notice, and it give them joy to know that we are with him, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. What a joy. That's the only thing that a real believer cares about. They don't care about a denomination. They don't care about an organization. They don't care about what other women think. They don't care. Certainly not. They won't do these things that other women do. These men won't do them things. They won't hang a baby around with some organization to keep from being put out. Afraid they won't have a meal ticket. They don't care about them things. It's nonsense to them. There's only one heart's desire, and that is to see Jesus Christ glorified. And their conduct must be with God, and it must absolutely be nothing else but just the glory of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that is why, saints, I believe in this day we're living.
Oh, there's many churches, many groups, many people. And Brother Branham said many times, you do a fine job getting people to church, but you're not getting them to Christ. And this is what we need to see in our hearts and in our lives as brothers and sisters. It's not being a member of a church. It's not being a member of an organization. And brother, it's not just coming to my church and fellowshipping with me. But oh, brother, it's a life that Jesus Christ himself will impart to you. And you personally will know him on a personal basis. It's not Brother Tim's God. It's not Brother Skaggs's God. It's not Brother Thomas's God. But it's the great God, Jehovah the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, my Lord and King, the great I Am that's ruling over me. I am his property and I'm here to glorify him. My saints, if we could just get back to seeing God, letting God have his way in the humility of our hearts and being humility before him and saying, Lord, don't let anyone see me, but Lord, let them see your life lived through me. To see that great glorified of this word, all of this word become a written epistle read of all men, not just talked about. Oh, that was good for Brother Branham. Oh, that was good. Oh, this used to happen in Pentecost. This used to happen. Everything that happened down through those other ages should be happening today in our hearts and in our lives. This is an age of the full word, every word being manifested and vindicated. Nothing left out. It has been restored, all of it, back to its fullness. Mine, it will have. He will have his preeminence in a people today. But oh my, I pray that each one of us feels that in our heart to be a, not just to be someone that's tagging along with it, but I want to pray, Lord, you take and get inside of my heart. Anything that's unlike you that I may still be hanging on to, tear it off me, Lord, and raise me up and let me press on, Lord. It's no time to be set. I may have been in this message 10 years, may have been in it 20, may have been in it 50. Every day should be a new day to climb, a new higher height in God. As long as we're on this earth, there should be ground to always keep climbing, keep pressing, keep moving on with God to see what he's got for me each and every day. Never become a stalemate of, oh, I'm just waiting on our rapture now. Yes, we're waiting. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. And may we continue to press and search and make sure my life is lining up, that I have an assurance. Not my brother's got an assurance. Brother, you're doing fine. You look good over there. No. But my life, I can go back to these scriptures and these quotes, and I can take this word and take it as a word test, and I can line my life up and see the fruits of the Spirit on display. I can look back and see brotherly kindness, long-suffering, patience, virtue, all of these things that will come with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's not the evidence I've got it. The evidence is to receive your word and it vindicate. If for the word for your day, and when it begins to start bringing that body under subjection, and you see your body turning heavenward, you see your body changing. Saints, when that rapture takes place, it ain't going to be a whole bunch of changing taking place. It's just going to be laying this old body down and picking up that glorified body. And by God's grace, we have the word now to fortify us and to bring those that is changing this body. As we eat the word, we become the word, and it is taking its change today, tonight. As I hear this word and as I am partaking of it, it should be taking hold in my heart and in my life. I pray there's one little nugget somewhere for each one of us will grab a hold and say, I see something there that's great for me. I need a little more of that, or I need a little more of this. That's why we gather around the word. I don't gather here just to hear someone preach and someone exhort upon. That's good. That's why we come is to be edified by the word. But I come here seeking my portion that I may grow. I don't sit down and eat a piece of pie so you can get the enjoyment out of it. I eat it so I can get the enjoyment. And that's why I come and partake of this word, is to see what God has for me. Oh, I pray each one of us feels it, has that same desire in our hearts. Here in the Church Age book on page 86, I wanted to read a little something, Brother Branham, after he had read that, he read that scripture in Acts there, and then he began to speak about this church of Ephesus. He says, they knew the righteous life that accompanied the bearing of that name. For whosoever nameth, this is actually on page 87, about halfway down. This book doesn't have paragraphs. He says, they knew the righteous life that accompanied the bearing of that name. For whosoever nameth the name of the Lord, let him depart from sin. Be ye holy, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. Thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. These Ephesians were Christians, and they bore a name that the name was Christ, who was the Spirit of God within them, which was one of the threefold names of their Lord. And for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. These believers weren't laboring for Paul or for an organization. They weren't committed to programs and institutions whereby they build up holdings of value. They worked for the Lord. They were His servants, not pawns of an organization. They didn't go to church on Sunday and talk about that name and then forget it the rest of the week. They didn't give lip service to that name. No, sir. It was their lives that were given. All they did in that name. And in that name, they acted. But if they could not act in that name, then they refrained from acting. These were heavenly placed Christians whose behavior was in the Lord. But the false vine group that wanted to devour that name hung like skulking wolves in the dark, waiting to get in and tear down. But the saints stood the test and kept the word and the name. And I pray that in this day that we're living, many tear down this message. Many tear down what was spoken by the prophet. Many say you don't have to live a life dedicated to the word. Many say that holiness is a thing of the past. Many don't think your life should be conformed to the word. Many don't think you should have to dress like a Christian. You should just do what you want, dress however. But God's word says they would be modestly dressed. God's word said all of these things that comes down the line. And it's not just dress, it's whatever. It's every word. Every word. A lot of times we use dressing because it's something that's so evident to see. But it's every word. And I pray that each one of us is praying, Lord, let me take my stand and stand in this day, in this age, and declare that this message is the truth. And what you have said is the gospel. And when you said that a person that would receive my life, his life on the inside, it would bring their body under subjection to that word, he meant what he said, and it'll happen just that way. And you'll see things of the world fall away. You'll see a people living a dedicated, surrendered life, even though it's the year 2013. And many people's new age and all, it's this today and it's that today and this and that. No, there's still a people, they may look old fashioned. They may not look up to standard. They may still live humbly in their homes, not have big, fancy, nice things and not be chasing after the American dream of every little thing that comes along. They think they got to have it. But all their one goal is to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Every day to see Him glorified and Him have the preeminence of their life and live a life that their God would be glorified, not them and themselves, but that Jesus would see, that people would see Jesus through their life, through their manifestations that comes from their body. They don't have to open their mouth and say, oh, I believe Jesus Christ today. No, their life, there's something strange that is that if people look and watch your life every day as you move through your life, they can tell. Those people got something that a lot of people don't have. In a day when people are so scared and so worried about guns and worried about all the things that takes place, there's a people that's got a blessed peace. Down on the inside of their heart, it don't matter. Feast, famine, tornadoes, hurricanes, it don't matter. There's a people that knows they're held in the palm of God's hand. And He said He would never leave them nor forsake them. And He said, no man shall pluck them out of the palm of my hand. My, what a great God we serve. We ought to be so, every day, be so much more seeking to see what we can do for Him. What we can do to glorify Him. That He could be glorified through our lives. You know, saints, there's a lot of word that we have heard. There's a lot of word laying in these pages. And my thing is it lining up in my life? Am I content with where I am, or is there higher heights in God that I could reach? My saints, I pray each one of us. I can't answer for you, but for myself, there's higher heights that I can reach. There's higher places to reach in God. And by God's grace, I know He will take me there. I won't do it in myself, but by God's grace, He'll take me by the hand and lead me on. And I pray that each one of you feel that determination in your heart. The time's finishing up. Things are coming to a close. And I want to be found of Him doing His will in this day, in this age. Not my will, but Thy will be done, O Lord. And I pray that's burning each and every one of our hearts. You sisters may come up to the instruments if you would. Hallelujah. Amen. Here on in the message, Perfect Faith, page 12 down at the bottom, paragraph 73. He says, oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost to do it, just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night, a prisoner to the word and will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going back. It's got to come. That's right. It's on its road now, I believe. For the word identified himself what he was. And the same word identifies us. See, if a man loves me,
he'll keep my commandments. And if he says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, that's all of them. He's a liar and the truth's not even in him. You say, well, I don't believe all. Well, then you're just an unbeliever, that's all. If the Bible said so, that makes it right and that settles it eternally. What the Bible said is truth. Notice where he said to us, if ye abide in me and my word in you, St. John 15, if ye abide in me, see, have faith in him. And ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Now see, he knew who he was, and therefore he had faith. And faith could produce when he knowed what he was. And now if ye abide in me and my word in you, then you know who you are. Ask what you will, and it will be given you. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight? If everybody that come in that prayer line would say, I'm a Christian, and I have no condemnation. Hey, man, I pray each one of us can take the word and line up and back our lives up, that we can stand today as Enoch stood, knowing I please God. Amen. Having that testimony before that rapture takes place, I know my life pleases God. By his grace, I can take this word and I can apply it and see that I know without a shadow of a doubt I am walking pleasing in his word and his will. I pray each one of us saints is doing that more as the days pass by, looking, searching, making certain that everything I do is lining up with that word, being certain of God, that I know without a shadow of a doubt he has called me to this purpose. He's called me to live for him in this day, and that my heart and my soul desire is to him and him only. I pray each one of us saints is filling that in our hearts, that to God be the glory, to him be glory forever. May he receive praise and honor from all that we do. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. It's just a few short words of an exhortation. I pray that somehow it's been able to strengthen you, encourage you, maybe cause a greater press in your heart. You know, each day goes by, we should be pressing on harder, pressing every day, crying out to God, Lord, is there something else I need? Lord, is there something else in my heart that you want to reveal to me? Yes, the mysteries come many, many years ago. There's lots of nuggets in there that we've heard and read many, many times. But do I have a revelation of every word that God wants me to have? Is my life totally conforming to his image? Or is there still a little rough place that I need to take the word and knock it off and let God chip and smooth it in so it looks more like him? Every day, saints, it's an everyday walk, an everyday press, pressing for the high mark of the calling of Christ Jesus. Never a dull day, never a day just to sit back and, oh, I'm on this boat and I'm going to ride it into glory. But no, every day there should be a press in the heart of that little elected. I'm one day closer to the appearing of the Lord, one day closer to his coming. I pray it's burning in each and every one of our hearts, saints, to have God have his way, whatever it would be. My, he's been so good to us. Each one of us, you know, you can look back through your life and see God direct your footsteps. Maybe from the time you was young and maybe didn't know the Lord, and then you come up and then you, God begins to deal with your heart and you see God then take you in his hands. And then for all through life, maybe from this church over to that church, to this church, to that church, maybe through many obstacles in your life, many rough spots, many times you just thought you just couldn't go another step. But God was right there all the way, leading you, dragging you, pulling you sometimes if need be. But he got you where he wanted you to be. And by God's grace, I know without a shadow of a doubt that that little bride will be exactly where he wants them to be when that rapture takes place. Every one of them, that words, whatever he's seen fit, each one of us may do something different. We're all not going to do the same thing. God may have this brother do something that may be outstanding as far as someone seeing and saying, wow, look what God did through that brother. And this brother over here may never get to do anything but just hold a church pew and make sure the lights was on, make sure the building was open. But it don't matter, because nothing goes unrewarded with God. And it don't matter if you worked all day or if you've only worked about an hour, you're going to get the same reward. Hallelujah. It don't matter, that last one that comes in is going to receive the same thing. And we ought to be so thankful if we can do anything to help one of God's little elected along the way and do all we can for God's economy, what God is trying to do and accomplish in this great hour. My, so precious to us. Has anybody got a song upon your heart, something burning on your heart you'd like to sing? My, I like that little song, for he's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am.
the Alpha and Omega. Oh, the beginning and the end. Oh, let's sing that, just worshiping. For he's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is Counselor, the Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father, throughout eternity. For he's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning.
May the Lord richly bless you, Brother Philip. Would you come? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful words of encouragement. Amen. Amen. Wonderful words of encouragement. I was thinking this evening, just before we come to church, that I look at what Christ done for me. I look at what I'm doing for him. Way short. Way short. Amen. And the brother speaking there, like, that's the desire of our heart, each and every one, that we just go closer to him. Just thank God for those few words of encouragement as a blessing to my heart. Pray they be a blessing to your heart. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to be here this evening, Lord. We appreciate, Lord, all you mean to us and all that you are to us. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful, Lord, as we then look forward and, my God, know, Lord, the hour we're living in, Lord. And Lord, we're expecting you, Lord God, to just draw us closer and closer unto you, Lord. And my God, when that great trumpet sounds, my God, and my God, we behold you, Lord, coming in the clouds of glory, Lord. And my God, that we feel that, my God, pull, Lord, to draw us to you, Lord. Pray that you'd keep your hand upon us, Lord, as we leave this building, Lord. Protect us, Lord, and keep our minds and hearts stayed upon thee. Till we meet again, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.